Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord for those gathered here in Port Huron at Our Savior. For those on radio or future podcast, we greet you as well on this first Sunday following the event of the Nativity of the Epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ. It took place on Friday. And there we gathered for our 19th year as Lutheran Episcopals, and now we brought in the Presbyterian and Tom Seppo from Operation Transformation Interdenominational at St. Paul West Water Street. We had a good 100 people there on that brutal, terrible, snowy, cold night at St. Paul's West Water Street. And it was a glorious time. Not only do you get all the exotic foods that Lutherans, Presbyterians, and Episcopalians and Presbyterians can pull together, but the beauty of our traditions, when you think about the history of Christianity in Europe, we've come a long way, baby, to come together in peace and sharing of Eucharist around God's table. Also then, after Epiphany, yesterday we had regretfully a memorial service for one relatively young, when somebody's just under your age, 58 years old, Kim Norgren of this congregation passed away. We did a memorial service here at Our Savior, good number of people, virtually 100 again. And then we'll do interment in May in the church's burial spot out there for cremains. The other thing that has taken place too is today the youth will have a birthday party for Jesus following the coffee hour, with coffee hour. And the kids have a chance to celebrate the Nativity in a special way with some games and activities that our Director of Family Life, Faith Dorsbacher, has prepared for us. Would like to say, when Friday night when I was at St. Paul's, several people came up to me, and by voice recognition, they said, "You're the pastor on the radio." I said, "Oh, yeah," and kind of hide my head. One young man, Mike, came up to me, he says, "I've listened to you on radio for 23 years, and now I see you." I'm thinking, blessings on you, my child. That's more than my congregation hears me. So he appreciates weekly our broadcast. We are open to everybody, and we want the gospel and the fellowship of God's Spirit to be with us. We don't separate. So acknowledging you, Michael. We also got a letter just before Christmas. You gotta love this for the radio. This is the only reason I'm mentioning it. It's another woman from the congregation dated December 14th. "Dear Pastor Don and congregation, I always listen to your radio broadcast in Port Huron. I now listen on the internet, 5:30 in the morning, exclamation point. You give such a heartwarming message with such sincerity. So please accept this gift for my appreciation." Mary Ellen has sponsored today's radio broadcast. So that's one of the neat things of internet, radio, and everything. So our worship begins this day. We celebrate also a baptism on this, the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll please rise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us make our confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. So for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. Through the glory of your holy name. Amen. In mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering song, we know that Christ is raised. We sing. Congregation may be seated. You should have the special insert to your bulletin. If I may have Presley James Catato, his parents, Katie and Zachary. Okay, he's ready. Wide-eyed, bushy-tail. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth and a living hope through the sacrament of holy baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death, raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. And we are united with all the baptized into one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, joined in Christ's mission in the life of the world. And so, Presley James, you have been presented here for holy baptism by your parents. So called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in grace and love of God, do you desire to have your child baptized into Christ?
I do.
As we bring your child to receive this gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with them among God's faithful people, to bring him to the Word and to the Holy Supper, to teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, to place in his hands the Holy Scriptures, nurture Presley in the faith and prayer as your child may learn to trust God, to proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world that God made, and to work for justice and peace. So, do you promise to help Presley grow in Christian faith and life?
I do.
And since there are no sponsors, we are the congregation. We're part with you. So do you promise to nurture this child in the Christian faith? As you are empowered by God's Holy Spirit, help him to live in the covenant of baptism and in the fellowship of the church. If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And so I ask you now to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, to reject sin, to confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you away from God? I renounce them. Then basically, the Apostles' Creed, do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. Thirdly, do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters. Your word, you created the world, calling forth life in which you delight. Through the waters and the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your Son, and on this day we honor it, was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death to raise us up to live with you. So pour out your Holy Spirit upon the power of your giving word, living among us, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given a new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Okay, Presley, James Kitato, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Nice warm water. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that through this water and the Holy Spirit, you give your sons, your daughters, new birth, cleanse them from sin, raise them to eternal life. And gracious God, sustain Presley with this gift of your Holy Spirit, Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, now and forever. Amen. Now with the oil, symbol of blessing. Oh my! As I like to tell parents, we're knocking the devil out of him. I make the sign of the cross on your head, Presley. Child of God, you've been signed and sealed in Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. Let us welcome the newly baptized.
We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission that we share. Praise to God, bearing God's creative and redeeming word to the world. We have two other symbols that we give to you, one of which is the stole. There you go. Just like pastor wears. The symbol of the stole in Christianity is that of an animal yoke that is placed upon them to help plow the fields. We are now bound to Jesus Christ as one of his workers. Another symbol, your hands are full. Zach, can you take that one? It's a symbol that our gals make, a pearl within the baptismal shell. The seashell is a symbol in architecture and that around you in the building of that of holy baptism. So if you're careful, you may extinguish your candle. Presley James, that was not bad. You did fine. Yes. You may return back to your seats. Thank you, Scott. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. If you'll join me in the prayer of the day, please. O God, our Father, at the baptism of Jesus, you proclaimed him, your beloved Son, and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized into Christ faithful to their calling to be your sons and daughters, and enable us all with your Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we have the first reading by Bill Price.
The first reading for this Sunday is from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench, and he will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Bill. The psalm for the day is one which we'll read in unison. As you turn the page where the antiphon will be, I put it there each time so you wouldn't have to flip on the edge of that page. So the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Together we speak. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Mount Hermon like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees dry and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory. The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore. O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. Our second reading.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
Peter crosses the sharp religious boundary separating Jews from Gentiles and proclaims the good news of God's inclusive forgiveness in Jesus' name to Cornelius, a Roman centurion. As a result of Peter's preaching, Cornelius and his family become the first Gentiles to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The second reading is from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. Peter began to speak to Cornelius and his household. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Word of God. Word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Kate. If you're able to stand, we will be speaking the gospel acclamation. Together. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The gospel reading of this day for the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, recorded by Matthew, chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him by saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me for your baptism? But Jesus answered him, let it be so for now. It is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. A voice out of heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. Every year as a minister, preacher, reader of the Word of God, I always think it's interesting how on January 6th, we can still see Jesus in the scripture readings being glorified by the Magi, the kings, with these wonderful gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the Sunday, in this case, 2 days later, we're talking about the man, now age 30, 31 years of age. The scriptures don't spend much time to talk about the child. Our curiosity is like, what was he like? Was he like Superboy? He could go flying whenever he wanted to. What was Jesus like as a child? Well, we only get one glimpse, basically, most likely, place at a time of bar mitzvah. He goes up with his parents, and you're going to hear that text too in this season, where he goes up and he leaves, and they abandon him in Jerusalem, go back to their hometown. Hey, who's got the son? They're looking around, nobody's there. He's back at the temple, teaching and learning with the rabbi, the leaders of the Jewish faith. So here we are, starting a season of Epiphany. This day with the baptism of Jesus. It's a beginning. Just as there's a new year that we've embarked on, day 8, so too for the life and ministry of Jesus Christ is a launch date. He has started. This is the defining moment. This is where the ministry and the word merge and the work begins. You roll up your sleeves. We're here to get the job done of salvation. So it has to begin with baptism. There, for our affirmation, knowledge that Jesus is not just one of many, he is the one to whom all people should look for the light, the truth, and for their salvation. He goes, John protests, Jesus convinces him, and he says, you will baptize me because it's necessary. This is how people and righteousness will come to this planet. So he participates in what we would call a believer's baptism or a baptism for forgiveness of sin. And he knew no sin. That's why John protested. Jesus says, no. We got to do this because I'm going to fully identify with my people, the sinners. So in his act of baptism, he identifies immediately with the population on planet Earth who need God's redemption. If you take it back to the Old Testament, Isaiah 46, already some 800 years before the birth of Jesus, there's speeches and what we call songs in the Hebrew, about the servant of God. There are several passages of these servant songs in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, but this one is talking about the servant of the Lord who come to do the bidding of the Father. The reason it's appointed for this day is to identify that this Jesus who is baptized is the servant of God. He fully meets the criteria spoken of 800 years prior. He will be bringing justice. He is a gentle figure. He is a light to beckon people to himself and to their God. He will do miraculous things. He will heal people who are blind, both physically and spiritually. That's been his job ever since. He will go to those who are imprisoned, and he'll preach to them good news. He will provide freedom for people, and he will bring about God's blessing on all who will come to receive him. Nowhere in there does it say what his reward will be, what his payment from God is, because it's just understood. This is what God wants. Do it. And the servant, as Israel will come to see eventually, will be also called in alignment to do the same things that the one anointed by God has been chosen to do. Keep that thought in mind because we are that new Israel, called to bring the light and salvation of Jesus Christ to a darkened world. You go to book Acts. Acts as Luke unfolds for us, in the wonderful sermon there, it's clear that there's a major transformation in the mindset, worldview of God's servant Peter. It's the understanding that those of us who are raised Jewish have to make space in the kingdom of God for the non-Jew. That would be maybe parallel saying to say that We have been Lutherans or Catholics or Methodists our whole life and have we're narrowly trained to thinking that's all it's going to be in heaven. Have to open up and make more room on the benches for the rest of the kingdom that has been gathered by God. There's the story told of the one who was up there with St. Peter going through the doors and the gates and the hallways of heaven. And Peter was walking by briskly one of the doors. It was partially open. The one who is taking into the kingdom of God says, "Who's behind that door?" And Peter says, "Shh, be quiet, it's the Baptist. They think they're the only ones here." Don't repeat that joke. Because it can be applied to all of us. We think we're it. What a farce. What a fallacy. What a contradiction. Read God's scriptures. This kingdom that's been prepared has been prepared for all peoples. Peter struggled with that. Don't believe that came easy for him. It took a revelation of this, what would you call it, a picnic blanket, coming out of heaven with all this food that was unclean. And Peter in the dream was told by the Lord God, "Now eat off of this blanket all this good food." He says, "I can't. It's forbidden. Leviticus. I know my scriptures, Lord." Lord says, "It's not unclean. Receive it. And receive the other people of God who you think were left out." It's a gut-wrenching experience. Everything you were taught by people you loved and trusted, your Sunday school teachers, your pastors, everything. You mean God's love is that great? Absolutely. And even greater than that. We humans have a narrow way of defining God. God just opens the definition up in the Acts account. God is not here alone for just Jewish people. And he's not here to just pick you and I because we qualified, because we didn't qualify. We too, like everybody else, were chosen by God. That's God's will, not man's will. You go to the gospel text, and there at the baptism of Jesus, my daughter Joy, when she was in seminary in Chicago, was on a trip to Israel during the month of January. That's a good time to go. And on this Sunday, the baptism of the Lord, her class and many thousands went into the Jordan River that day. And hearing the scriptures again at the site where this took place, she said, "Dad, our seminary professor was asked by strangers if she would baptize them in the Jordan River." And this seminary professor said, "Sure would. This is a place, a holy place." And it's not just a relic. It's not just the water. It's, as Martin Luther says, it's water with the word. That's what enables the spirit, the confirmation of our identity, children of God. Now, the word was spoken originally, obviously, in a text for Jesus. But it replicates itself as it did this morning in the baptism of Presley. You have been marked and sealed in the cross of Christ forever. You are God's child. Now, Martin Luther, it's the reason we don't just make him a canon saint or whatever you want to call him. He was a man used by God to lead us back to the Word. That's all he was. And Luther would have many bouts of depression and spiritual depression. Sometimes Lutherans like to forget that. He was truly human, Martin. And he struggled with his faith, being challenged by this monolithic Roman Catholic Church, which was both government and church, and their condemnation of him and making him a criminal. And as he would struggle, he would say to himself, and he would record this for ourselves. So we know that once you're a Christian doesn't mean everything becomes rosy. There is still struggle ahead because you said, "I believe." It doesn't get easier. And Luther says, when all else fails, I go back to my baptism, because there I am stripped of any claim of being qualified, righteous before God, and say, I deserve what I got, so Lord, why are you giving me bad things? I recognize God's love for me began my life's journey, and it will carry me through these struggles and the next struggles and the next struggles, because God named and claimed me in the waters of my baptism. You and I, as servants of God, followers of Jesus Christ, we have a calling too, just as Jesus received his. The understanding that we are not to live for ourselves. Yes, we have to think about ourselves. But in America, we become very narcissistic. We think only of ourselves. There's a world out there hungering and thirsty. During the Christmas season, I just casually mentioned, but with great love and reverence, that many of this community died, but more importantly, by suicide. When I included for the families who were dealing with suicide Friday night at the Epiphany service, I had a gentleman come up to me afterwards. I never was thanked for a prayer before. But he came to me, he says, my son, who has a friend 26 years old, took his life on Christmas Day. Thank you for praying for those of us who are struggling to pick up the pieces of our life. You just take a deep breath. There are some people who just do not see light. They need to see it in us. There are some people who don't know the word. They need to hear it and see it in God's people. There are people who walk still in their darkness thinking they're right, when from God's point of view, they're all wrong. Whether it's through acts of violence like on Friday at Fort Lauderdale, wherever it is, people in their confusion and their darkness can rationalize and justify anything. But it's God who is the judge. He separates the sheep and the goats. And it is the Lord alone who calls his people, you and I, to say, roll up your sleeves, kids. Just like I told my son Jesus, we got a lot of work to do. Let's get about the kingdom. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us. Remain with us always. Amen. Our hymn of the day is page 9, God Whose Almighty Word.
Thank you.
I made a statement at the funeral service yesterday for Kim, and it's a true one. And that is, we light the Christ candle here. This is called the Paschal candle. We did it exclusively for Presley today as a symbol in the faith. At baptism, the light has moved to us from Jesus Christ. The next time in a journey for a person is what we did yesterday, and it is at a funeral. We light the candle. The reason we do, we remember our baptism. It's like the closure of life. And we affirm today, as we've done earlier with the baptism, the creed. If you'll please rise. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers with Marcia.
Called to be a light to the nations, let us pray for God's justice, peace, and healing. Pour out your spirit of unity, triune God. Renew our lives in the promises of baptism. Hold us together in the oneness of the body of Christ. Empower us to be one as you are one. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Pour out your spirit of life, eternal God. Move over polluted waters. Breathe on barren fields. Strengthen ancient cedars and oaks. Engage us in your care of sea, land, and sky. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Pour out your spirit of wisdom, holy God. Guide politicians and military officials as they wrestle with complex situations. Grant them courage and compassion to work for peace in every nation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Pour out your spirit of justice, gracious God. Heal the pain of all who are victims of crime. Be present with all who are imprisoned. Reconcile broken relationships within communities. Comfort the sick and their caregivers. And we remember in our prayers today, Carol Weaver, Mark Evans, Bucky Rose, Jerry Norgren, Barb Palmer, Jim and Donna Martin, John Wilds, and Lois Pike. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Pour out your spirit of love, glorious God. Sustain all who knit prayer shawls, sew quilts, and provide housing for our neighbors who are homeless. Surround those who seek warmth and shelter with grace-filled advocates. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We remember and pray for Tristan Morrison, Rob Nolan, and Jamie Sulier, and all other men and women in our military service. Return them home safely from their service to our country. Lord, we ask that you would comfort the family of Kim Norgren with her passing. Pour out your spirit of peace, resurrecting God. Bring all who grieve into a community rooted in you. Uphold them with your grace and keep us all grounded in your promise of life eternal. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers in the name of Christ, the light of the world, who is the one with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And
if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for Christ's work among us. Few announcements just to keep ourselves on track. We do appreciate it, the radio sponsorship by Mary Ellen. We do have coffee hour this day. After that, or simultaneous to that, will be the birthday party for Jesus for the children. of the church. We also kind of bring you through the now insert to ministries that are going on. Between services, Robin Abbott has called for a meeting of the committee that she has chosen by those who volunteered and by prayer to serve on the Planning Strategic Committee of Our Savior Lutheran Church. They hope to have, in a process of 5 to 7 months, a plan for our Savior for our future. And its timing is perfect. Whether or not you know this, February 22nd is our 97th anniversary of life and existence as a congregation. That means we are 3 years away from a 100th anniversary birthday party. Okay? Need to get ourselves on target. What is our ministry as God's people in this age, which was different from 1920 when this congregation began? Okay? Try to say some other kinds of things. I do start new members classes towards the end of this month. If you have not joined the church officially, made a profession of faith in front of the body of Christ, encourage you to give it serious thought. If you read the article, and if not, pull out your newsletter. I clearly define membership different from just a guest, a non-member member, and a member. We don't dwell on separation. We don't want to separate anybody. But these are the definitions we operate with in a world that has changed on us. You know, once upon a time, membership meant everybody just followed the same track. Now, since really the 60s, people just come and go, kind of like open door, back door through a church, and they never really belong or join or commit. So that's what membership is about. Jesus called it discipleship. They're the same words. Okay, so if you have problems with the word membership, take Jesus' word, discipleship, make a commitment, stand with it. Many other things in your bulletin, I hope you read. I should also qualify, you as a congregation at 8:30 do not know what happened at 11 unless you heard it through the grapevine. But at the 11 o'clock service last week, Jerry Norgren had a spell right here. I was in the pulpit, called for the deacons to come render assistance. He had virtually went unconscious. He wasn't responding to us. It was during my sermon. It was a moving sermon. I felt like where Paul in the book of Acts, guy Sosthenes falls out of a window, and then Paul has to revive him. I didn't revive him. The ambulance service came, took him to Port Huron Hospital for 2 days, determined it wasn't a heart attack, but they don't know exactly what it was. So, and then the next day, well, he gets out of the hospital Tuesday, then on Wednesday, the police come to their house door to say their daughter is dead. You wouldn't want a week like that, would you? I wouldn't either. So, remember the Norgren family in your prayers. Our worship continues as we sing our offertory prayer. Next page, verses 1, 4, 5, 6. Take my life and let it be.
Take my life and let it be.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that we may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Before we start singing, I direct your attention, page 22 in your bulletin. My first 2 years, 93 to 95, we were singing this, and I said, Sharon, would you show me the music? So in 1995, she penned what you see as page 22, so that those who are less familiar with how we Lutherans, at Our Savior Lutheran, you could go to another Lutheran church, they won't do it this way. You get to see the music text I got to see 20 plus years ago. We sing the Lord's Prayer. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Closing hymn is Spirit of Gentleness, one loved by our members. Spirit of Gentleness.
Spirit of gentleness, all through the wind.
Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.